It's time for the most well-known sports radio icon in St. Louis. The show that begs you to answer the question, can I ever be this good? It's time for the Charlie Tuna Show, presented by Ameren Missouri on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Well, good evening, and keep that same old feeling. We're here for another week of sports. And what a weekend it has been in sports and in real life. We're going to talk about everything tonight. We have our usual cast of characters, Skip Weber at 8:10, Joe Fresta with our Monday Night Edition with Joe. Tomorrow night, we'll have Scott Rosenblum on to talk about Ezekiel Elliott, yes. He was the one that, he's working the appeal, and he was the one that met with Roger Goodell in this committee. And also, we'll be joined by Hall of Famer Jackie Smith as well tomorrow night. So, we'll have a fun show tomorrow night. What's up, Tom? How was that trip? I sent you a text Friday, remember?
You did. Well, a very sweet text. A very nice text.
I told him not to cry.
And I showed it to my wife and showed it to my daughter.
Where'd you go?
They were very touched.
Oh, we took your daughter.
Daughter down in Western Kentucky.
That's some Bowling Green, right?
Bowling Green, Kentucky. Yeah.
Any and tears?
Home of the Corvette plant.
No tears. Very few tears.
I
can't say none, but very few.
Let's get the caller real quick. Let's go to John before we go to Skip. Go ahead, John. We don't want you to hold. What's up? John, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to ask a question about the Ezekiel Elliott case. Why do you think Jerry Jones doesn't back the NFL commissioner or whoever suspended this guy? I mean, I understand. I mean, doesn't Jerry Jones know us domestic abuser when he sees him? I understand that
How do you tell a domestic abuser when you see one? Tell me how you do that. When you walk up to a guy, you say,
"What's he look like?"
What did he look like?
Well, he looks like
a wife beater.
He looks like a wife beater, sweetheart, mistreater.
What does a domestic abuser look
hell
like, John?
What are you talking about?
Okay, I mean, what about the evidence?
No. Answer the question.
I'm trying to work.
Answer the question. Answer the question.
I'm trying to answer the question. Let me answer it.
Don't tell me.
Let me try to answer it.
You call me. I keep telling you. I didn't call you. What does the
domestic
abuser look like? What does the domestic abuser look like?
Has he got one ear bigger than the other?
Yeah, I'm looking at the domestic abuser. Look at Bill Clinton. He's a domestic abuser. I mean, you could do it.
How was Bill Clinton a domestic abuser?
Bill Clinton never hit nobody.
Well, who told you he beat a woman? Did Monica Lewinsky say he beat her?
He beat her with something, but he didn't beat her with his fist.
I'm talking about this. I'm talking about Pamela Jones and O'Donnell while he was governor.
Well, he never hurt
nobody.
Now, listen.
Hey,
the reason why Jerry Jones is upset is because they went to their attorney, Scott Rosenblum of Record, and they talked to witnesses up in Columbus, Ohio, and found out there was nothing there. The police, I know the NFL doesn't go by the police bylaws, but you got to go by something. They found that there was nothing there to do anything to this kid. Plus, you made the kid wait for almost a year.
Yeah.
So that's why.
And Jerry's mad because they have his best running
back.
Six games out of a third of the season.
You'd be upset too, John.
Yeah.
Wait. If this guy wasn't a productive person and was, I mean, a football player, you think Jerry Jones would really care about
That's real life too, John. That's just what life
would you care if it was somebody else's family?
That's why they cut Lucky.
If it was your brother,
he was insignificant.
What about the case with Ray Rice when he was on there on videotape knocking that girl out? I mean,
his
wife or whatever it was. I'm just saying. I mean, look what happened to him. He's never played in an NFL game.
The reason why he didn't play anymore, because Ray Rice's career was almost over. He had the year before, he averaged about 2.5 yards a carry. Yeah. His career was going downhill. That's why.
He was to that magical age.
You're telling me if a guy's productive and he's a star player, he can get away with abusing his wife or anybody else that the owners consider. Long as it's not a killing, like OJ.
First of all, OJ was found innocent. Except for Greg Hardy, and Greg Hardy,
he got a second chance
himself.
Though.
He got a second chance,
and he didn't play very well with the Cowboys, so
he
didn't get
played
a third.
Okay. He just was not remorseful at all.
And that's true.
Well, you know, that's why I stopped refusing to watch NFL. When these guys will sit down when the national anthem's playing, and you got this neo-Nazi group running wild, killing people, and then you got this guy that won't salute the flag and for people that died fighting these Nazis.
What are you talking about? They won't salute. Who told you? Who has said they won't
read with that?
Who said they won't? It was on
Fox News.
Salute the flag.
I see it every day.
Who?
Oh, you watch Fox News?
Okay.
Who has won't salute the flag? Tell me what athlete won't salute the flag. Tell me who they are.
Marshall Lynch.
He never said he won't salute the flag.
He never said anything about the flag.
He never said it. Where you get your information from?
Wait a minute. If he's sitting on a bench or sitting and eating food, that's disrespecting the flag and the people that fought for the against
no,
the
it's not. No, it's not. They're going against police oppression.
There's dudes in the bathroom taking a leak while it's going on at the ballgame, too. You're going to get mad at them?
Plus, Marshawn Lynch has been doing this for over 2 years.
Yeah,
nobody
said
anything.
He's always done it.
They need to get rid of the national anthem at these events anyway. It's silly.
Didn't they get rid of it at a lot of schools?
They should. Well, they got rid of the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, John, we got to run. Call back. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Brian. Okay.
See, this is what people, they look at stuff. What was this?
Nitpicking to try to discredit the movement.
They never say anything about not saluting the flag.
No, they didn't.
They talking about their people getting beat, black folk.
Talking about what Kenny Easy got cut off talking about last week.
Yeah, sure did. Oh, the microphone went bad.
Oh, they cut his mic off.
No, they just told him it's time.
Oh,
it's
time to get off.
Shoot him out the way.
Tried to get
the teleprompter broke.
He tiptoed around.
The teleprompter broke.
Kenny Easy threw a fastball right down the center.
Black Lives Matter.
We're
going to talk about
that's
this.
That's crazy. Skip.
We're going to talk about this more after the first hour. This country is so divided. Racially, we are divided. And probably, most of you go back to your parents when you were a young black man, young kid. This is worse than the Jim Crow days, almost. Except you don't have them hanging people.
Not yet.
You may be right.
Not yet, man.
You know, right now I'm quite disturbed at what I see, but I like to believe that these neo-Nazis, white supremacists, are in the minority and not the majority.
You know, this country fought 70 years ago to get rid of this sort of thing for the world, and now these jackasses march down the street with these flags and all this and holding their hand up in the air. It's crazy.
All right, without ado, let's go to one of my favorite segments of the night, and let's do it.
It's time for the Weber Report, brought to you by Weber Chevrolet and WeberChevrolet.com. Now, here's Skip Weber.
Skip Weber, how are you?
Good evening. How are you doing, Charlie? I'm doing great.
You all right? How was that concert?
Pretty much one of the best things I've ever seen.
Really?
Did they play Baba O'Wiley?
They did. They did. And they're a couple of 73-year-old guys with some, you know, younger people around them. Mm-hmm. And they had all kinds of energy, and they sounded great and played great. And, I mean, it was really impressive and really good. Very fun.
I met
some friends there. And we all were just impressed, but we really, really liked it.
I saw them in '89 at Busch Stadium, and they put on one of the best shows ever that I've ever seen in a rock and roll concert, especially in a stadium. And then I saw Roger Daltrey about 4 years ago at the Peabody, and he doesn't sound like a 73-year-old man.
No, but that Peabody was a small, a small venue, and he sounded pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was way better this time.
Wow. Okay.
He had some voice issues that he got back from. You know, I don't know. It was really good, man. I mean, I can't describe it. We talked about it the whole next day, just how much we enjoyed it.
It's one of those shows where you know every song.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, that's wonderful.
Absolutely.
That's
wonderful. And you know who the drummer was? You know who's drumming in their band?
Isn't
right
it
now?
Zach Starkey?
Zach Starkey, whose father is Richard Starkey.
Yeah.
You and I, we all know him as Ringo Starr.
Right. Right.
Mm. Now. Let's talk about your favorite baseball team.
Yeah, in the meantime, as of two days ago,
they were tied with the Cubs for first place.
And they lost yesterday, and the Cubs are playing tonight, so they're either going to be a half game back or a game and a half back. But either way, it's way better than we all thought. And I'm telling you, they look really good, and it's all due to the bullpen pitching better. This team could have been that good all year if not for the bullpen. Yes, occasionally they score no runs. Yes, occasionally the starting pitcher gave up a bunch. But by and large, more than half of their losses can be pinned on the bullpen.
Now, here's a point that people are failing to look at. Mm. They also have a chance for a wild card. They're only about three or four games out of the wild card, too.
Yeah. They're closer to the wild card than they were to first place a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
So they have two chances there. They're third in the wild card, mm-hmm. So they're the next one out. So they have a couple chances, and I really like their chances if they can just get into the playoffs. I really do.
Skip, what do you prefer in your lineup? Two guys that can hit 30 home runs or eight guys that can hit 20?
Eight guys that can hit 20. Because what happens if the eighth inning, your two guys who hit 30 home runs both come up and don't get anything done, and so the ninth inning comes and you got the sixth, seventh, and eighth place hitters up, and you think it's over? I mean, we got balance across the lineup, and that's why we're scoring runs. It really is. I mean, your total team slugging percentage and your total team on base percentage, your total team home runs, that's what counts.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. And so, I really like this team. I don't think we have eight guys that are in double digits, but I think we almost do. I think Martinez has got to get another home run. And,
that's right.
I mean, they're very well balanced across the, and you don't even have Piscotty or Diaz playing.
How about that?
You've got a bunch of young, no-name guys that are all doing it, and some good players, too. I mean, Yachty's having one of his best offensive seasons in a long time. I think it's really good chemistry and a good mix right now, and I like our chances.
Here's what the home runs are. Pham has 14. Long has 16. Molina, 14. Jerko has 15. Carpenter, 15. Fowler 15, and he's been injured. And Grichuk has 14. So
wait, you mentioned the young.
You didn't mention the leader.
He has 18.
Yeah.
The leader.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think your stats are a couple days behind. I think John hit his 17th on Saturday, and Grichuk hit his 15th. On
yeah,
Saturday.
That's so, you're right. I'm looking at Saturday stats wrong.
Yeah. So you got a couple more in there too. So. I mean, I'm telling you, and then you got, like you said, like I said, Martinez is right behind with nine. So that many double-digit home runs, that's a good offensive team.
Skip this story of Paul DeJong. Have you ever, or can you recall, other than somebody like Vince Coleman, can you recall somebody coming up and putting such a spark into the Cardinal lineup like this young man has?
Yes, I can.
Who recently? Recently.
Not recently.
But it has.
Whoever has. Seen
I it. Said, mention Vince have. Coleman. Will you let me run this show for a second?
Go ahead, Skip.
I'll tell you who it reminds me of.
Who's that?
Terry Pendleton.
Well, mm-hmm. That's 30 years
ago. Terry Pendleton's best offensive season as a Cardinal was his rookie year.
That's right.
The rest of the team was terrible. Jack Clark hurt his thumb. That was the year the Mets won the division in the World Series. It was between our 2 years.
86.
Excuse me, it was the year before 85. It was the year before. It was in 84.
84, okay.
And he came up and he was in both those World Series teams. He was a good part of it, but he never hit as high as he did as a rookie. I'm not saying DeJong is going to go back to there. Pendleton didn't have as much pop in his bat, but man, it seemed like every time he got a hit, he was the only person driving in runs. He was the only person that batted over 300 for the team that year. The team was just down. Not doing much, and it was a key defensive position too. He was very good at that position. It reminds me a lot of that.
Skip, you know,
and none of us had heard of him in spring training either. Mm-hmm. I mean, DeJong we saw in spring training, but in December we weren't talking about him.
Nope.
We had no idea who he was.
No, Skip, you know, one thing I'm really enjoying with the Cardinal resurgence is watching Colton Wong play the type of game that we felt he should be playing all along. Not trying to hit a home run every at bat, just putting the ball in play, using his speed and athleticism, and being a catalyst for this offense.
Yep, he's doing a great job of it. And along the same lines, another guy who's doing a really good job of letting the game come to him is Randall Grichuk. Mm-hmm. Not hitting the ball hard, but not necessarily trying to hit a home run every time. Those young guys that those big question marks we keep saying, we don't know how long we're going to have patience with them and all that. They're making their statement that they want to stay on this team.
Oh, I was just going to say, you guys mentioned that Terry Pendleton, that was 30 years ago. But in the recent past, I brought up Vince Coleman. But this young man, along with the rest of the lineup, Tommy Pham has been outstanding.
Yep.
And Fowler has really picked up his game. Do you see this team making a run further? Or is this just like a flash in the pan these last eight games?
No, I
like 8-1, 8-2.
Here, our offense has been almost as good most of this season. I'm telling you, I like our chances. They're starting to believe they can win. The bullpen, really in that streak, the bullpen pitched very well. Rosenthal had a 3-run lead and gave up 2 runs. But part of that was an error when Carpenter dropped the ball at first base. So they're still making a few mental errors. I'm telling you, when you shore up that late inning pitching, this team can win. I think they're better than the Cubs.
Boy, they got the Cubs thinking.
They might be because the Cubs, first of all, they're in a precarious situation by winning the World Series. Now they're in a precarious situation because they've never been in this position in over 100 years, and they may fold.
Yeah, they're probably playing very tight.
Joe Maddon said he knew the Cardinals were coming. So they were on the lookout for him all season long. And, you know, that's been that.
Joe Maddon doesn't know anything but how to cause trouble. He don't know.
Oh, my.
He's not paying attention to the Cardinals.
Now, Skip, with all due respect, as they say in the Mafia, with all due respect, you're talking about Charlie's favorite team there.
That's not my favorite team.
It's not now. My favorite team. Last October it was.
No, it wasn't. I didn't say it was my favorite team. I just thought they were going to win. Okay. That doesn't mean your favorite team. My favorite team are the Cardinals and the Yankees.
But another thing about this Cardinal team, I noticed ever since the incident a couple of weeks ago with Molina and Matheny. Molina has asserted himself as a captain and leader of this team, and the other guys have said, Yachty, we're following you.
It is his team.
Yep, I agree with that. Now, the one thing is Molina swung at ball four yesterday afternoon with the bases loaded, and we needed that run, and that was that. But, no, you can't lay it on one at bat. He's playing very well.
Now, let me get a little negative. All right.
Not you.
Tommy Pham has been going on Instagram and Twitter complaining about some of the things that the fans have said. He needs to leave that alone. Wainwright has gone back, and he's hurt now, Skip. And when you get to be 36, he's got a bad elbow, bad finger. And, you know, he just came back off of injury, not doing well. And Michael Wacha has turned back, and we need them now.
Yeah, we do. I still think we got a shot at replacing one of those two with Luke Weaver. Mm-hmm. You need to have five starters clicking to get to the postseason. You do not need five starters in the postseason.
Why do you think Tommy Pham's speaking out of character, out of place?
Well, what is he saying? I didn't hear that.
Some of the fans are telling him to just shut up and play the outfield.
Well,
and you don't. Players shouldn't react to fans
in this
by Twitter. You shouldn't do that
in this day and age with all this stuff.
I agree,
especially in this town.
You know, I was going to say, Charlie, especially in this town,
being a black guy.
Tommy Pham wants to be brash and say he deserved to be on the All-Star team and say things like that. That's fine. That's part of who he is. I don't like somebody's cocky player or whatever. I never like to tell him to change. I just don't. That's part of who he is, and if that's who he is, you know, he's probably a great guy off the field, but his cockiness is part of what makes
that's
him
right.
good. I think the fans need to shut up, too.
That's
but
right.
Whatever they say, the player needs to just ignore
it. I don't mind the fans. He needs to ignore them. That's what I'm saying. He just needs to ignore
them. I mean, the fans can say what they want. We pay for the tickets. We pay their salaries. But at the same time, I look at them and say, just leave him alone, man. He's playing well.
Yep.
That's the way I think.
He's been their best player.
Our best pitcher so far has been Lance Lynn.
Right, best pitcher. Best player's fan.
Big country.
Big country.
That's what I call him, big country.
He's good, man. I'm glad we did not trade him. Can you imagine? You know, Mozeliak is kind of looking like a genius staying put. You know, nobody played better in the last 2 weeks than the Cardinals. Since the trade deadline.
I was with one of the Cardinals executives Friday night after the game, and he told me, they were telling me, and I won't mention his name, that Matt Adams loved the reception. He said he was almost uncomfortable at the reception that the Cardinals gave him. And the one thing about Matt Adams, when he was here, and the one thing that was Matheny didn't do, Matt Adams thought he was a hitter. Then they tried to make him out of a singles hitter. But when they got to, when he got to Atlanta, Skip, they told him, you're a power hitter. Maybe something the Cardinals should have told him.
Yeah,
I agree. I don't know. I mean, did we really say be a singles hitter, or were they saying
you need to learn
how to hit to left field? They were trying to get him to be a line drive hitter so he could take the ball the other way because that shift was really messing with him.
And Atlanta's told him, just you're a power hitter, let's do it.
And I think also putting him out in left field messed with his brain a little bit too.
Well, that's got that on your mind. Atlanta right now, at least now, he's filling in first base, but now that Freeman's back, he's a left fielder again.
And then you had his own teammate, Tommy Pham, complaining about him playing in left field, so that kind of got to him. So it's all said and done. That's just part of a long baseball season. So, if
you know, we had a crowded team. We had a lot of young players. I mean, could you imagine if you still had Matt Adams and he was playing well? Where do you play him?
Wow.
You couldn't. He'd still be off the bench.
Yeah.
So right now, today, do you say the Cardinals have a chance to win their division?
I do.
Wow.
I mean, how can you not? With this game behind, how do you not have a chance?
They may believe it's out of me.
They're as good as anybody right now.
Yeah.
And you know what? They're playing their best baseball when it really counts. Dog days of August down the stretch.
And you know what? They were also playing really good baseball on the road in that stretch.
And another thing.
So let's see what happens with going to Boston and Pittsburgh, because, you know, Pittsburgh is a team that they kind of have a little bit of, they're messed up in the head about them sometimes. If they got to do well on this 6-game trip right now.
Fundamentally speaking, too, they played well.
Only made 5 errors in the last 20 games.
Yeah. They played better.
Going to yesterday.
Yeah.
Skip, the college football season is just around the corner. Who's going to be some of your favorite teams you're going to be watching this year?
Well, I'm going to watch my 3 favorites, Baylor, Kansas State, and Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. They're all teams that really have virtually no shot at really even their conference championship. Probably the best chances of any of those three is Ole Miss. Kansas State, actually, because Ole Miss is in a little bit of turmoil. Then I'll pay attention to Mizzou and Illinois, like I always do, and then I'll see what everybody, how everybody starts out. Obviously, Florida State and Alabama play first week of the season. Those two teams are going to be among the best. I think USC is going to look tough, so we'll see. I mean, I keep expecting Texas to be better, but I doubt they will be. Something about them, they're just, the culture down there is not good. So. So we'll see what happens, but I think it's going to be a fun season.
Skip, what do you think that the ACC now is as good as the SEC as far as football?
No,
they've won 2 of the last 3 national championships, Florida State
and
that's just, Clemson.
And that's the same thing that people in the SEC were saying about them being the best conference because Alabama kept winning. You had the two of the best teams in football, but the rest of the league is terrible. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, think about how football is. Do you think Clemson goes through the Big Ten or the SEC and even has the record to be in the? Maybe they do, but we don't even know. They beat up on a weak conference to get there. Now, they're a great team, but there's all that variables. And let me tell you, I had this thought for a long time. I don't know if I've told you guys this. You have got to get a system for non-conference games to see how really good people are. We've got to have 2 or 3 non-conference games among the power conferences, and you can do it. You can have a formula where the top team of this conference plays the top of that, similar to how they do in basketball every year, just to see how they are. Because we don't know. You see the big crowds and the high scores or whatever, but you don't even know. You don't even know if it's bowl season because the matchups are weird. You don't know how good these teams are, but I would not say the ACC is all that great. They don't have, you know, anybody beyond Florida State and Clemson in the last few years, but maybe somebody like Duke or North Carolina steps up, but I don't know. I don't think you can say it right now.
Skip, one more final question for you. Have you been following the Ezekiel Elliott story?
I have been to an extent. I don't know all the details, but You know, in these kind of situations, the league's got to say what the suspension is. It's not fair to keep dragging the player and the team out. They got to do it. They got to say, here's how many games you're going to miss.
Yep.
Now, I don't know what the allegations are. It's a he said, she said. I would like to think that the young man didn't do it, but if he did, he's got to be punished.
Right.
So get to the bottom of it, investigate, and make the punishment and tell everybody. Quit dragging it out.
Skip, do you think he should be punished even if he's not punished underneath the laws of whatever, the federal law or arrested by the police? Do you think
that has nothing to do with the NFL?
I know that. That's what I'm saying. The NFL has their own set of rules. And is that right?
Well, you know, all the sports do. It goes back to 1920, the year after the Black Sox scandal when they had the first commissioner of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, if you've ever seen the great movie Eight Men Out, you know mm-hmm. what the line is. Regardless of the verdict of juries, they're going to have their own finding. So they need to do the same thing. Whatever it is, if you know, because he's not going to jail, okay? He's not going to go to jail because of the NFL.
No.
If he goes to jail in real life, yes. But the suspension from the NFL is not jail. The suspension is, in real life, let's think about it, it's not that serious. Even if you get suspended without pay, it's not. It's a blip in his career, probably.
Well, tomorrow night we'll have the attorney of record, Scott Rosenblum, on, who was in the room. He argued the case for him, and he's going to come on tomorrow night and tell him what they completely found him guilty of. So we'll find that out tomorrow night. All right, Skip.
I'm eager to hear that. So, you know, if he loses some money, you know, these players have got to learn how to keep themselves out of the situations where they even get accused, even if they're falsely accused. So that's just, you know, I don't want to say that every single one of them is guilty. I don't want to say every single one of them is innocent when these kinds of things happen. But they got it. Most of the time, the situation as a whole could have been avoided.
Skip, is the rebate still going on, $7,000 off of the Cruise LT as well as the Malibu LT?
Yes. It was supposed to end tonight. Chevrolet extended it, so we're able to extend it too. It's one of the best promotions we've done in years. It's been very, very, very popular. It's huge. I think I told you last week, most of the time we were advertising $3,500 off cruises. And we were the best. We were the biggest discount. To have this $7,000 off is a huge opportunity on a great car.
All right, Skipper. Weber Chevrolet, WeberChevrolet.com. Three locations, two in Illinois, in Granite City and Columbia, as well as, of course, 270 in Olive. Folks, just think now. Almost getting cold, back to school time. Kids are going back to school every day now. And if you're credit challenged, don't worry about it, right, Skip?
That's right. We can take care of you. I've got a person at every store that handles that.
All right, Skip, we'll visit with you on Thursday, and we'll talk about places to visit, go out this weekend, as well as that movie we want to talk about.
Yes, sir, I'll be ready.
All right, talk to you Thursday, Skip.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
The Weber Reports was brought to you by Weber Chevrolet.
All right, that was fun.
I wanted to ask him hypothetically, in his business, if something like that were to happen to one of his employees.
You can't equate a regular job with an athlete.
I understand that. Yes, you can.
That's a dumb question.
Well, do you?
You can't equate a regular job with an athlete.
Why is that?
Because you work part-time.
Who works part-time?
Athletes. They don't work full year.
That's a good point. They don't.
They don't work a full year. You can't equate a regular job.
Well, they get paid like they work a full year, damn it.
You don't get
can't
an athlete.
You pay like they work a lifetime.
Yeah. You can never equate an athlete to a regular person's job. Never.
So do you
plus
think,
they're playing a game. But the job's a game.
But no, you're
paying. Oh, now it's a game. But it's a business. Do you think, without any police findings, that a man should be brought up on these charges and suspended by the people that employ him?
Yeah,
you're all right with this? You're all right with the six games?
Yeah. I want to hear what it's about first. But they signed the collective bargaining agreement. The players did.
And that's to say that they won't hurt anybody or beat anybody?
Roger Goodell has he has all the power here. The players gave him that.
I mean, if he didn't do anything, if it was detrimental to the league, he can be suspended.
6 years ago, they gave a six-game suspension to Ben Roethlisberger, too, for things that weren't found out.
Got to reduce to four.
And mm-hmm. did it?
Yeah, he did get reduced.
See?
And the police took a picture with him the night that he was accused of rape. That's something else. But the bylaws of the NFL have changed a lot since then.
I just think that the NFL is the Gestapo, and they have their own set of rules, and they
but the players okay.
Well, then the players
exactly.
Then they're
okay. It.
Their once strong union is now getting weaker.
No, the union.
Was their union ever strong though?
No,
the union was
signed off on it.
They've had a strong union. The NFLPA and baseball players unions and all those those are strong unions.
No, but you got to remember. They all signed off on it.
I know they did.
So they, where you going?
But they signed off. But Charlie, they signed off on it blindly. Some of these guys do.
But they still.
You know that.
They
I know.
They had to get paid.
Charlie, I know.
They still signed it.
Charlie, if somebody says you're going to make $8 million a year, and the collective bargaining agreement comes up, well, hell yeah, I'm going to sign it because I don't want my paycheck interrupted.
Well, the reason
especially $8 million a year.
They were up against the wall when they signed this collective bargaining agreement. Mm-hmm. This is when they signed the agreement when they didn't practice twice a day and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the players actually caved in partially because of what you said. They don't want to lose their paycheck.
Right.
That's why some
you got to think about the person at the bottom of the roster.
That's the
they're
thing.
Making $100,000 even or
see,
less a year.
Or
exactly.
Or the guys that came before them.
But remember,
exactly. Yep.
Ezekiel Elliott didn't sign this deal.
No, I know.
It was there before he got there.
Well, he should say that. That's yeah, my out.
Hey, let's take a quick time out. This portion of the show brought to you by Cantor Injury Law, where they never charge a fee. That's right. Located at 270 in Olive. Our musical guest tonight, David Ruffin, Willie Hutch, George Benson. That's right. Any kind of injury. You step on a nail. Your girlfriend's too ugly. She hurts your face. I'm serious. Anything they can help you with. All right. 314-628-9999. Cantor Injury Law. Or visit them on Facebook. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll talk. A Monday Night Edition with Joe Fresta. Tom is back. He's taking his lovely daughter back to school. He got tears on his knees tonight. We'll be back. The deal's within me. Every time you touch my hand, and a dread that shakes my body, that even I don't.